The following broadcast is part of Trent Radio Foundations, a project funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Radio Meters program. These recordings feature interviews and talks with some of Trent Radio's foundational members, the people who were around when we moved to Trent Radio House at 715 George Street North, and who helped to define the aims and objects of Trent Radio as we know it now. This segment features an interview with Rob Phillips, who was general manager at Trent Radio in the late 80s.
My name's Rob Phillips, and I'm a musician in town here, and I was manager of Trent Radio back in 1988 to 1994. And, I mean, I've been in a few times, and then a job came up, and it was sort of 4 years after when they got the house, and so this is 1988. I think they got the house and the studio in and their own transmitter in 1984. So I was here in 88. And so I started in the summer of 88, and there was not too many people around at the time. And you wore a lot of hats. You had to look after the building. You had to train people to come in and use the equipment, sort of gear up for the fall, because in September you would be inundated with Trent students or returning Trent students or community people that were involved. And so I just sort of found my legs that summer, and it was quite a learning experience, because you had to sort of be all things to all people here. I mean, you were dealing with the CRTC, and musicians would come in with their records, and we used to get like 50 CDs a week.
Yeah.
From the record companies back then. I don't know whether you still do it that now, but anyway. Yeah, there were volunteers, and Teresa, I can't remember her last name, Teresa and Joanna sort of trained me a bit, but they weren't involved all that much in my training. I was sort of thrust into this position, you know, and I knew John Muir had been involved for quite a number of years, but it would sort of distance himself at that time. He wasn't involved much with the radio. And so I came in and, started to find my legs. And we had a really, really old board here in Studio B.
Yeah.
And rats and the mice were eating the wires. It was quite a situation to be thrust into at the time.
It's like kind of running like a house. You're running a house that happens to make radio.
Yeah.
And be open to hundreds of people every week.
Yeah, it was, I haven't been in the building quite a while, but it was, when I look back to it, it was quite daunting. And but really a powerful thing to understand the power of radio, and especially community radio. And there were the Trent students, and then there was the community members as well. And those two communities, when they met, there's some really interesting radio that was produced here at the time, and over the course of the 6 years that I was here. Some people are kind. Well, before I came in, I had this idea of radio, and then when you get thrust into this environment or culture of community radio, it's quite a different thing, your perspective on radio. And then you learn about the history of radio and how powerful that can be in political contexts, or it can connect the communities. It can be a creative medium as well. And it can bring people together. It can stimulate new ideas in terms of what you broadcast. Lots of people came in, and I remember at the time, and They would volunteer. They didn't want to go on the air, and they wanted to be part of a community of people that had different ideas than sort of mainstream or the perception of mainstream radio, what that entailed. So, you know, my eyes were really opened when I came in, and there were lots of different shows that, when I look back now, they were really interesting shows, and people would spend hours putting together a show and pre-record it. And so getting back to the power and the potential of radio, it really, for me anyway, it brought the sort of the two communities together, the Peterborough community and the Trent community. And lots of different things happen because of that interaction. You know, you can come into Trent Radio and you can see other people putting shows together, and it gives you ideas.
Yeah.
Or you connect with different people in the community and give them ideas to participate in the radio, and that can be a powerful thing. Mm-hmm. I do remember, John, you were saying the first rule of radio.
Yes.
Is show up.
Yep. Still true. Still true.
And you can find out about your community, too. I mean, there's all kinds of different people doing really wild and creative things out there. And there's this interaction when you participate in Trent Radio. And, you know, I just think it really... what's the word I'm looking for? Brings the community together. Creates community.
And
you find out about different people and different political perspectives and different musical perspectives. And whereas you might not come across these different people and different ideas if you don't come into Trent Radio.
Absolutely. Well, and it's one thing that I've always loved is if you don't like it, turn it off, you know, and I think that's really important. And it was daunting when I first read it with the aims and objects. Trent Radio wants the programmer to have the right to offend people.
Mm-hmm.
And that we want the listener to have the right to be offended, because that's a right to be able to say and hear. Mm-hmm. True thoughts, the perspectives, you know, and I think that that's a valuable conversation that happens, that just because something makes you uncomfortable doesn't mean that it's wrong or illegal or, you know, that people should be shut down. It's...
I do remember this one show, it was called Dead Air on Trent Radio, and it's an uncensored, unmoderated radio program. And so you could produce radio without leaving the confines of your home and participate in the radio experience. And it was a phone-in, unmoderated, uncensored. And so people could chat over the air about various things. It could be anything. And I do remember, it's called Dead Air. I think Peter Rukovino produced that show. There was lots of traffic coming in, but it was to appeal to people that there were different ways of using the medium.
Mm-hmm.
And don't necessarily have to come in with these preconceived ideas of what radio was about, but you could come in and just being in the place, Trent Radio, you would get different ideas and possibilities. And explore the potential of radio.
Yeah.
So just being here and around different people and helping out and volunteering would give you ideas.
Yeah. Who else was around when you were here? I know you said the name Peter Rukovino.
Peter Rukovino was here, and he worked here for a while.
Who was he?
He was just a man about town who... who had been involved in Trent Radio producing shows, and I think he'd been on the board of directors. Joanna and Teresa, though, they weren't doing, I don't think they were programming when I started, but there were people. Dean Shuring, I do remember Dean Shuring. He produced a show, Doctor Who show, and Mike Barker with Folk Under the Clock. He did a program here, and he would highlight the different acts that he was bringing into town. When I started, we were only on the air. It was sort of late afternoon until, you know, midnight or 2 or 3 in the morning, that kind of thing. The new equipment came in July and August of 89, I guess it was. There was talk at the time that we would do sort of certain formatting of, you know, there'd be a folk slot from 9 in the morning till 10, and then there would be a political affairs program from 10 until 11. I remember it opened up a fair bit so that, you know, there were people coming in the studio at 6 in the morning and producing a show till 8, and then the next person would come in from 8 to 9, that kind of thing. And, you know, people would produce shows on cassettes and Studio B, or they would produce them from their home.
Right.
I can't quite remember all the stuff, because it's so transient. Trent Radio, there are people coming and going all the time. You know, you would have students come in and community members, too.
Yeah.
Like, we had articles in the paper about Trent Radio and trying to encourage people to use the facility. And we would have, training programs, and people would be, they'd learn how to use the equipment, and they might do a show, and then they might not do a show, but lots of people came into the training, and they would pre-record their shows. And I remember doing sort of outreach in the papers at the time. I mean, it's so different now with the internet. I mean, I can't believe the changes at Trent Radio, the reach into the community with the internet. I remember at the time there were certain philosophies about Trent Radio, and you know, one that was put to me was, it's not about the listener.
Yeah.
And we don't care if people are listening.
Yeah.
And that was a sort of a, you know, that was a bit of a stumbling block for some people that were involved in Trent. What do you mean you don't want anybody to listen? Yeah. What's up with that? And the idea was to participate. Like, for me anyway, the idea was to participate, come into Trent Radio, hang out, a bridge between the communities of Trent and the Peterborough community, and through that interaction, people would come up with ideas. As great, like, we would have live broadcasts out front. We would record lectures at Trent, the live broadcasts in the Market Hall and the Union and the Red Dog, that kind of thing, which was a lot of fun back then. I remember, because I would come in, I would be the operator, because I have a hard time finding somebody on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
And you come in, and I'd phone up Ian Osborne, and Ian, and it was easy because he would just take a line out into the bell line, and you just have to flick a switch in Studio A, and we would, which was really cool at the time, that you could go live to broadcast from certain Sadler House. I remember we had a line in there, and it's just great fun to be in the community, because nobody else was doing it. Like, commercial radio does not do that. And it's instantaneous, too. I mean, with the Arthur coming out once a week, you know, we come out once a week, but we could be live on the air.
Recognizing that these ideas or these possibilities, they do take the time from people to sit down and foment these ideas, you know, to, like, bring this stuff together.
Mm-hmm.
But then also the dedication and the time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's finding that reliable group of people, because there is always this core group of people who want to go that extra mile at Trent Radio, and they do.
Yeah, and it's exciting too.
Yeah,
I mean, there's some exciting things that have happened over the years. I mean, and I think just the wonder. Like, I remember thinking, this is an incredible place. There's a studio, there's a transmitter, and that's a powerful thing in this community, because you're not going to get commercial radio doing the sorts of things that community radio can do. So it was, different things happened every week and every month. And the summertime was different. Like, we sort of cut back our hours a bit, but it was always open back then, and different people would come in the summertime.
Yeah.
A lot of community people, but Trent kids as well. And they would come in and they'd produce a show over the summertime. Mm-hmm. And so it was always going.
Yeah.
all 12 months of the year.
Yeah. I feel like we're still running on a very similar model to what you were working with different people, different technology. You know, I still, part of my training when I bring new people in is I explain to them that it's not my job to care if anyone's listening, that that's their job. That's not my goal.
And what do people say to you now?
Well, you know, the kind of like dumbfounded look sometimes, but lots of people really understand when I explain it, like, you know, this is your time on the radio. Trent Radio doesn't make radio. My job is to give you this opportunity, and then you get to decide what you think's important.
We supply the equipment.
Yeah.
You come in with the idea.
Absolutely.
As crazy as it, the idea might be, and we would try to help facilitate that idea.
But it's still working.
Yeah.
You know, it's still working, so there must be value and need for it in this community.
Absolutely. I remember, you know, I run into people from Trent Radio you know, that did shows here, and I remember listening to the CBC once, and somebody, they were doing some show on community radio, and I remember a programmer got through on the line and said it was one of the best experiences they've ever had. Now, I don't think they continued in radio, but it was just really great to be immersed in a campus community radio station. But you touch people, and they have an appreciation of the radio and the power of radio and what it can be and what it can't be, and I think, you know, Trent Radio has touched a lot of different people over the years, and some people have gone on to, you know, musicians I know have gone on and done things, and people have gone and worked in, you know, CBC and that kind of thing, and so it touches people, and I think that's really a positive thing, even if you're here just for 1 year doing things. And I remember, you know, the idea was that to make it easy, the technology, it shouldn't be that difficult to train somebody, like make the equipment really easy to use, and so people could really explore the idea that they wanted to pursue. And because it, you know, some people are sort of phobic about all the buttons and the dials and that, and so the idea is to make it easy.
It's not about having experience in radio.
That's right.
It's about having a passion for an idea or something that you want to share. And
you're here for the power and the potential of radio and the different ideas. I mean, there's a broad spectrum of different people in this town with different ideas, and they have preconceived ideas of what Trent Radio can and cannot be. And so you get out in the community. I mean, back then, we used to do articles in the local newspaper and the Arthur and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Now, I would say you have a different, with the internet, you have a different outreach. Like, you can get to, can Trent Radio broadcast and people pick up the signal and they're living in Australia or something?
Yes.
Right, so you do internet broadcasting all the time?
All the time. How prominent were Trent Radio's aims and objects in your day to day? Do they hold a, like, did you refer to them a lot? Can you describe them to me in your own words? Or verbatim if you have them memorized?
Well, no, I mean, I think, you know, the potential programmers came in and we would give them the spiel and we would hand them the aims and objectives. And I always sort of just distilled it down in that you know, you would have, it's like you were having your own radio station, and that there were the aims and objectives, that there were these different communities. I've already sort of said it, there was these different communities in Peterborough, and all these different constituencies, and that we would encourage diversity of programming, and we would encourage different people to come in and use the facility. We would provide the equipment. You come to us with a really cool idea. We might have to spend a bit of money on the idea to facilitate your idea. And just to create a diversity of programming, and bring the communities together. And there would be community at Trent Radio.
Yeah.
That lifelong friendships and different ideas that people could pursue at Trent Radio. Or once they've left Trent Radio, they could still pursue these different ideas. And I think Trent Radio is different, and it's always been different. It's been different than other campus community radio stations. Although I know that with campus radio, this is 25, 30 years ago, there was it was a lot music oriented and, people wanting charts and, are you guys playing my song? And we don't really do that here. We're a little different. And so some people didn't sort of grasp that idea.
They still don't.
No. And, a radio station is more than just playing music, and it can be. And it can bring different people together and different people within a community or the two communities together. And it's a great place to learn.
Yeah.
You can learn so much. You don't have to do a radio program. You can do a radio program, but you can just learn so much by going through the process of producing a show.
Absolutely.
And you will learn, you'll learn yourself, whatever idea you come in with. It might just expand into something completely different.
Yeah.
And it's a hard slog, but then every once in a while there's sort of magic that happens, and magic that happens every day. I remember I would say to people, look, you got a big blank canvas. I give you the paint and the paintbrush, and you paint, right? And don't come in with some preconceived notion of... You can. I mean, some people come with great ideas, but people's experience with radio is different. I mean, some people listen to CBC, some people listen to commercial radio, and then there are people that listen to wonderful campus community stations across this country.
Yeah.
And, you come in here and we provide a big blank canvas and... give you the colors and whatever you want, and explore.
Yeah.
And how much fun? That can be a lot of fun. Some magical things can happen from that interaction with just coming in the door and meeting the different programmers and operators and artists and musicians and. And I just remember really believing in the power of radio and community radio and in Trent Radio.
Yeah.
I just remember really believing in it. And to manage a facility is one thing, but to be a producer can be a really exciting thing. Mm-hmm. And you can learn so much.
Yeah.
And it's fun. It can be a lot of fun.
Thanks for listening. This broadcast was part of the Trent Radio Foundations, a project funded through the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Radio Meters Project. The purpose of this content is to provide staff and volunteers with the opportunity to hear from some of our community members who helped define and establish Trent Radio as we know it now.
Thank you so much.